invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 in your Bibles if you haven't already, as we get into the Word this morning. And as well, on the backside of that youth pantry announcement is a yellow insert that has an outline that will go along with the message and the PowerPoint if you find that helpful. Many of you are going through some very difficult times these days. All kinds of problems, all kinds of trials. We've prayed for a number of them this morning. Ailments of the body, backs and necks and legs and minds. I love it. I'm so glad you're back, Greg. At least I have somebody I can have a little fun with. Amen? I feel you, bro. But many of us are going through some difficult things. Some people are dealing with problems and burdens and trials in their life. Some people are dealing with addictions and controlling issues and problems. We're very, very thankful that the new Celebrate Recovery group started on Friday night, this past Friday night, meeting down at Y Bible Church in Graysonville, of which we are participating. We're very thankful that God has raised up that ministry. I invite you to go out and check it out, 7 p.m. Friday evenings. Celebrate Recovery deals with hurts, habits, and hang-ups that rob your life of joy, rob your life of the things that God has and wants to bless you in. But many of you are dealing with all kinds of problems, all kinds of trials. Amen? Or am I the only one here today that's having issues? Everybody has their issues. Better get your tissues. Right? We all have issues. We all have problems. Some of you, like these people that Peter is writing to, are suffering grief, suffering difficult times. And let me tell you, if you're not now, I can promise you that you will be at some time in the future. I'm going to talk a little bit later about the fact that we are not exempt. As Christians, we are not exempt from the difficulties and the trials of life. And my hope this morning is to encourage you on the one hand, to strengthen you, help you know that God loves you and He's not left you alone and He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. That's His promise. And on the other hand, I want to challenge you this morning to stand strong in tough times, to praise through the trials. There's an old song by the Imperials that says, "Praise the Lord, because He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. And when the enemy tries to bind you, then praise His name." That's the time we have to press through and we have to praise through the trials and through the difficult things. Through these trials that He allows in our lives, God proves our faith in Jesus Christ genuine, that it may result in praise. God tests our faith. He shows us, listen, He tests our faith to show us that it's genuine. You ever think about that? God doesn't need to test you to know whether your heart is true and faithful. He already knows that, doesn't He? How could He not if He's God? So why then would He test us and try us to see if our faith is genuine? He wants you to know. He wants you to know where you're at in your life. And so He allows trials. Oh, God allows trials? Yes, God allows trials. Well, I thought if I became a Christian, I thought all my problems were going to be over. Sorry to tell you, in most cases, they're just getting started. Because God is in the transforming business. God is in the changing business. And He's not content to just leave you as you are. No, He wants to prove our faith, test our faith, and allow you to see whether your faith is genuine and what you need to do in your life. There's two kinds of trials, and God allows them both. A, there are trials that come from the consequences of our bad choices, our foolish actions, and our disobedience to God. Those are the first kind of trials that happen. Consequences from our bad choices, our foolish actions, our disobedience to God. Now, this can happen B.C., before Christ, but this can also happen A.C., or after Christ, after you've come to Christ. You can still make bad choices. You can still do foolish things. You can still disobey God's Word and create consequences, create issues in your life. That's the first kind of trial. Second kind of trials come from life. Life alone. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. That life is tough. Life is hard. Why? Because we live in a fallen, sinful world. We live in a world that's fallen and sinful. Romans chapter 8 says, the whole creation was subjected to frustration, futility, decay, because of our sin. And we live in a fallen world, and let's just be honest, sometimes it's hard to discern whether the trial I'm going through is because of something that I've done, a foolish action, a disobedience, or whether it's just life. And you know, you can drive yourself crazy. Here's the way I approach it, and I hope you find this helpful. If God wants to show me something about myself that I've done and done wrong, I believe He can do that pretty easily. I don't have to go and beat my head against the wall trying, oh God, what have I done to offend You? Oh God, why are You punishing me? Well, maybe He's not. Maybe it's just life. Why, God, did I get laid off from my job? What have I done? Nothing. We live in a really bad economy right now. And a lot of political leaders are making really bad decisions. And there's a lot of people that are taking advantage of others during this time. And you just happen to be a part of that. Life is full of trials. And God allows both kinds. God never promised that we would be exempt from this as Christians. He never promised that somehow we would be immune to all the problems of life, all the difficulties of life. And you hear so much preaching where it says, you know, oh, you just come to Jesus and He's going to make your life wonderful. Well, there will be wonderful parts. And we see that here in the Word. There's an inexpressible joy, full of glory, because we know our inheritance is in heaven with God. Oh, but there are trials that come. And so God wants to prove our faith and through these trials. Through both kinds of trials, He wants to test and prove our faith in Christ. You see, because it's easy to have faith when things are going well, isn't it? Oh, God, I thank You. I've got such a good job and all the bills are paid and there's extra and I'm able to go on a vacation. I'm able to buy that motorcycle I've always wanted. See, it's easy to praise God when things are going well. But all of a sudden, things start going in the other direction. Things are difficult. Oh, God, what have I done now? Why are You punishing me? You know, we start to the wine and cheese and crackers deal. And we need to develop some spiritual backbone. And that's why God allows it. He allows these trials to test and prove our faith in Christ. Thank you, John. Andre Crouch wrote a song years ago. He wrote a song called Through It All. Andre Crouch is a gospel singer, and he had the privilege to sing this song before a packed stadium at a Billy Graham crusade. You can watch it on YouTube. And here's the song. There's a part in the song. It says this: if I had never had a problem, I would never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And God wants to grow us up spiritually. God wants to deal with the stuff in our lives, whatever it may be. And sometimes He allows trials to happen so that that stuff gets revealed and is dealt with. Let's try to break it down for a few minutes. Number one, our inheritance in Christ, our eternal life in Him, is kept for us in heaven where it can never perish. We have to hear this before we launch into the whole issue of trials and dealing with it and working through it. We have to understand that our inheritance is kept in heaven by God for us. What do I mean by that? Well, look at verse 3 with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the gospel there, isn't it? That's what God has done for us in Christ. This is what He has done for you and for me. And notice He says He's given us new birth into a living hope. It's a living hope. Why? Because we have a living Savior. He is the risen, living Son of God. We don't just have some dead religion. This is what sets us apart from any other religion. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is no longer in the grave. He's no longer in the tomb. But He has risen from the dead. He's overcome death. He's overcome hell for you and for me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. They went to the grave and it was empty. And all the other religions today, they go to their grave and their founder, their leader, their hero is decaying in the grave. And Jesus said, one day I'm going to come back and you will see me face to face. The scripture in Zechariah says, they will look upon the one that they have pierced. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back and He's going to show Himself to the world once again. In the meantime, though we have not seen Him, we believe and we are filled with inexpressible joy. Amen? So I ask you the question, have you had that new birth in your life? Have you come to that place where you have embraced Jesus Christ in your life so that you know this inexpressible joy, so that you know this new birth, this living hope? If you haven't, I challenge you and I encourage you to open your heart and receive Christ. Let Him begin this process of change, this miraculous process in your life. And then as we read verse 4, it says that we are given into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade, kept in heaven for you. This inheritance of new life in Christ, this inheritance of eternal life after we die, and all of the rewards that we're going to get from God in heaven is kept by God for us. It's kept by Him. Did you see that? It's kept by who? God. It's not dependent on your performance. Oh, I talk with so many people. Oh, Pastor, I just really failed this week. I really blew it. I guess I need to get saved again. No. You just need to repent. As Jesus said, you just need your feet washed. The whole body is clean. And you're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And you've received my word. You just need to have your feet washed. See, as we walk through this world, our feet get dirty. Spiritually speaking, there's a little part of us that gets corrupted and needs to be forgiven and cleaned. Well, that's what it is. And so if you fail the test, listen, if you fail the test, He doesn't kick you out of school. Amen? The only school I know that does that. I shouldn't say that. There's lots of schools. That's another subject. Some of you have been taking finals this week. You've been in college. It's good to see some of our college students home. And you've worked hard and you've studied for those tests, right? And what if you failed it? What if you failed that final? You would think, oh man, I'm going to get kicked out. You're going to put me on academic probation and I'm going to get booted. Well, God does not kick you out because you failed the test. Now, the issue is you're going to have to take the test again. And again. And again. Until you pass the test. The test that God has for you, whatever it is that He has for you, He wants you to work through it and pass the test and not fail. And so He'll take you through it. And so, again in verse 4 it says, this inheritance that is ours in Christ can never perish because God is keeping it for us. So take heart. Understand as we go through this that He is the one who keeps us. Jesus talks about this, how He keeps us. John 10, verses 27 through 30. Park Slott is going to read that for us.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Go back one verse there for me, James. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch you out of His hand. No one. And so if you ever struggle with that, in the midst of trials, in the midst of failures at times, the enemy's right there, isn't he? He's always there to pounce on us. Oh, you're not a Christian. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be doing this. You're not a Christian, or you wouldn't be saying things like that. Well, we are Christians, but we're weak. We are of flesh. Jesus said that. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. And we talked about that last week, didn't we? But Jesus has us in the palm of His hand. And we are upheld daily. It's kept for us in heaven. Paul said this. Paul, of all people who went through so many trials, and you can read the litany of his trials in 2 Corinthians. He says, I was beaten with more stripes than all of you. Beaten 39 stripes. I was left for dead. Shipwrecked. Cold. Hungry. Abandoned. But not struck down. He never gave up, he said. And he says this, 2 Timothy 1:12, this is why I am suffering as I am, because I'm a Christian, he means. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to Him for that day. We come to Christ and we entrust our lives to Him. We entrust our salvation. We trust our eternal well-being, our eternal life, and our rewards in heaven. And we can have faith that He is going to hold them for us. It is not based on the performance. Well, number two, verse 5. Let's read that together. Verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And so, in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these tests, we must exercise our faith. We must exercise our faith, trusting in His Word and living a new life, a sanctified and obedient life. This is what we're called to. Look at verse 2 with me. Back up to verse 2. Make a right. Go over to verse 2. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the setting apart work of the Spirit, for what? For obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Notice those two things there. We're called and set apart for obedience, but also for sprinkling by His blood. Why is that? Because in this call of obedience, we are not perfect. We fail. We're called to be obedient, but on the other hand, we fail. Therefore, we need that sprinkling. We need that ongoing cleansing. And it's prepared for us and given to us daily. If you want to overcome in the trial, you've got to exercise your faith. We've got to walk in obedience. You've got to read His Word. You've got to set your mind on His Word. You've got to pray and ask for His help. I'm amazed sometimes. People are going through a difficult time and I ask them, I say, well, have you prayed? And have you asked God for help? Well, no, I didn't want to bother Him. Bother Him! He wants you to ask for help. He has made it available to you. In Hebrews it says, Jesus was tempted in all ways like we are, yet He was without sin. Therefore, He's able to give mercy and grace to those of us who need it in our time of need. He's there for you. Listen, don't worry about all the other things that He has to take care of. He can handle it. He can handle it. If He created this universe and He created light, which, what is it, 186 million miles per second, something like that, His brain can work faster than that. He can take care of every human's need at any moment. So bother Him. Somebody asks, well, how many times a day should I pray? As many as you need. As many as you need. That's why the Scripture says pray without ceasing. And so there's a cooperation on our part as we're going through the trial, as we're going through the fire. We have to put on the new man, the Spirit that is within us. We have to set our minds on it. Romans 8, 5 through 6. Judy Vilwalk will read that for us.
Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace.
You see, if you have your mind set on what the sinful nature desires, by the way, the sinful nature is our nature that is apart from God, that wants to do its own thing, have its own way, that resists God. And you see, if you follow that, what does it give you? What is the consequences? Death. Death. Now, it's not, you know, just merely physical death. It's death and destruction in every way. I've seen many, many Christians that they were walking with God and they were doing well. And all of a sudden, when they just began to live to their flesh, and destruction comes into their lives, and it's almost like they have died spiritually, like they were once following God, but now there's like nothing there with them. What has happened? They've set their mind on their flesh. But rather, if you set your mind on what the Spirit wants, it's life and peace. Because that's what God has for you, even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the fire. See, remember when I said earlier that there are two kinds of trials that we go through and they come from two kinds of consequences? You see, you and I want to eliminate the consequences that come from bad choices, that come from foolish actions, and come from disobedience. We want to eliminate those as much as possible. I was talking with someone this week and they said, Pastor, I just feel like I have this black cloud that hangs over my life. I said, I understand. Some days I feel like that. She said, but, you know, this has been going on for years. I said, well, let me ask you a couple questions. I said, what are you doing now differently than what you've been doing all your life? What choices are you changing? What actions are you changing? Because you see, if you were doing actions over here before Christ, and they're bringing you horrible consequences, and those consequences, by the way, sometimes those consequences are going to affect your entire life. Y'all don't hear me. You will make decisions in the spur of the moment that you just think, I've got to do it. I've got to have this pleasure. I've got to make this purchase. I've got to have this relationship. It's my right and I'm going to do it. And you don't understand what you're doing. You're putting into effect a cause and effect relationship that's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. Will God forgive you? Does Jesus forgive you? Yes. But He's not going to take away those consequences. You will deal with it for your life. We need to get serious. Some of us as young people made some terrible choices and we still bear the scars in our life. It's been 35 years for me. I just gave away my age, didn't I? I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but you know, it's like yesterday. I can remember some of those sins and terrible things that I've done like it was yesterday. They're right there. You see, it's not only the pit that God can pull you out of, it's the pit He can keep you out of. And so we need to be serious about this. And God wants to keep you from those things. Why do you think He tells you, live to the Spirit, do that which is good, let your mind be stayed on this, whatever is lovely, pure, good, righteous. Think on these things. And yet what do? We fill our mind with trash. Oh, it doesn't affect me, Pastor. I don't listen to the words. Yeah, right. That's why when you're walking along working or just jogging, you're singing that song. You know, that song has just come up in your spirit. And you're singing all kinds of immoral, unclean, impure stuff. Oh, it doesn't affect me, Pastor. Okay. A man will reap what he sows. And if you're sowing to the flesh, you will reap from the flesh. But understand, even in this, even as we struggle and we fail, His grace is in it. Romans 8, verse 28, for in all things God works together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Why do you think that God pursues you when you act like a knucklehead? Why do you think God goes after you when you do things that you shouldn't be doing? If He didn't love you, He would just let you go. But He follows us, He pursues us, He calls us, and He woos us back to Himself. Number three, and this is really my main focus of the message, that we are to rejoice in our trials, knowing that our faith is being tested and refined, being proved genuine, and the result is praise. Verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It says to rejoice in the trial, not for it. You don't have to be thankful that your car blows up. You don't have to be thankful that your leg breaks. You don't have to be thankful that you lost your job. Don't over-spiritualize. Oh God, I thank you that you let me get fired or let me get laid off because I know you have a better job for me. Well, you know what? It might be a long time, just as some of you experienced, are experiencing right now, to find another job. You don't need to be thankful for those kinds of things. You can be thankful in it. You can be thankful that God is not forsaking you. He's going to be with you in it. But don't over-spiritualize. Not all things that happen to us are good. I've heard this people say this, well, it happened for a reason. Doesn't that sound spiritual? Well, there's a sense where that's true. But maybe you brought it on yourself. Maybe it wouldn't have happened if you hadn't been a knucklehead. Maybe God could have spared you from it. But then again, it may be something that couldn't have been avoided. God allowed it because He wanted to deal with you on an issue in your life. So you can praise God in the trial, not necessarily for us. So rejoice. Understand that God loves you and He's committed to you and He wants to bring the best out into you. This illustration of, or this analogy He uses of gold. See, gold perishes, but our faith is going to endure forever. Gold perishes, but our faith is going to endure forever. In Proverbs 17:3, it says, "The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." See, this refining process analogy that He uses here, what happens when they refine gold or silver was they put it in a big crucible. And they begin to heat it in great extreme heat. Sometimes we feel like we're in that extreme heat, don't we? And you begin to melt that gold, and what happens is the impurities that are in the gold, the dross, they call it, it floats to the top. And then the smelter, the refiner, scoops those impurities off the top. And then he does it again. He stirs it up, and he allows the impurities to rise. You get in the picture? Just like our lives. And this is how the refiner knows that the gold is finally pure. He looks into the crucible, and he sees a perfect reflection of himself. God wants to see a perfect reflection of Jesus in your life and in my life. As He looks at us in the refining process, as He looks at us in this crucible of life, He wants to see the reflection of Jesus in our life. Now, how about you? But that hasn't happened yet for me. I'm still in the smelting process. I'm still in the refining process. The heat's still on. But that's God's goal. He's committed to this. The impurities that are in our life, He knows how to bring them to the top. He knows how to allow them to rise. You see, we always try to cover things up, right? We come to church here, we put on our clothes, and look very respectable and very spiritual, and we say the right words. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. God bless you. And then we're out in the parking lot, and someone cuts us off coming out. And what do? We give them the one-finger wave, don't we? Shout at them. Come on now. You know I'm not lying. We deal with issues in our lives, and we lose it. We lose control. We get angry. We get angry at each other. We get angry at ourselves. You see, and God knows exactly how to uncover what we try to cover up. There's an issue. There's a principle in Scripture, and this is another sermon. I'm just giving you a little preview. There's a principle in Scripture. That which we try to cover, God will work to uncover. He will. It's called conviction. And He'll uncover it. The more you try to cover it, the more He tries to uncover it. But on the other hand, when we are honest and transparent. We uncover ourselves to the Lord. And we say, Lord, you know what I am. I'm not playing any more games with you, Lord. See, then God covers us with His grace and His forgiveness and His mercy. And I know that's a hard thing. That's a hard process. But that's what He does. And so, in this cauldron, this crucible of life, He's trying to test us, refine us, so that our heart and our faith will be genuine. Through this, God wants to see a reflection of Jesus Christ in you and me. And He wants us to grow, and He wants us to run this race with endurance. He wants us to grow strong. He wants us to develop perseverance. Because guess what? There's another trial coming right around the corner. You get through a trial, and what do? Whew. Oh, man, thank you, God. Thank you for bringing me through that one. And God pats us on the back and wipes our nose, and He says, okay, get ready for the next one. See, we thought they were done. What? I thought we were done, God. I'm good now. Sometimes He gives us a little break. Sometimes He gives us time. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes He lays them one on top of each other, doesn't He, Brother Greg? It's tough sometimes. But God's committed to our good in the midst of it. He's committed to our good. And He wants you to develop perseverance. He wants you to be ready for the next trial that's coming your way and coming my way. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it joy, brothers, when you endure trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you become mature, not lacking in anything. Perseverance must finish its work. Oh, it's tough stuff. These trials and this perseverance, it's tough. And Paul leaves us, and I will leave this word this morning with this. Philippians 1:6. Ryan Allen will read that for us.
Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Read it one more time with it, and read it like you believe it.
All right. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Do you have that confidence this morning? I mean, can you lay hold of that? And come what may, the trial, the temptation, the cauldron of life, can you lay hold of it and say, God, I'm holding on. Not too long ago, a couple summers ago, we went down to Busch Gardens. And we went up that highest. Brenda didn't go, but I think it was Brittany and me. And she was the only smart one. Stayed out of that thing. We went up this highest roller coaster. And I'll tell you what. We're going up, and we're up and up, and we're up over the tree line at this point. And I'm thinking, what have I done? I am an idiot. I'm paying money to be scared out of my wits. And I'm telling you, my heart is pumping. And I'm starting to feel nauseous. We're up over these tree tops. And I'm like, ah! And then, you know how it is? And, of course, Brittany wanted to sit up close. You know? And all of a sudden, you come to the edge, you're like, ah! And what happens? And you just hold on, white knuckle. And then you go down and see the picture and see how silly you look. And boy, did I look silly. I mean, here's a 40-something man that looks like he just saw a ghost, you know? I'm like, it was ridiculous. But I'm telling you, isn't that what life is like? Sometimes you think you're just doing so well. You're doing so well, and you get up to that precipice, and all of a sudden something blindsides you. A trial happens, an issue, a problem, a situation, and you're holding on for dear life. Understand, you're not the only one holding on. God's got you right in His hand. He's got you right there. But you can't get out. You can't get out of the cart. You've got to go down through the trial. You've got to white knuckle it, if that's what it takes. Get some spiritual fortitude and backbone and go through the trial and let God have His way in your life, in my life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are so committed to us, Lord, that You love us that you will never leave us, never forsake us. You who did not spare your own Son, but gave Him up for us, will you not with all things bring us together with Him? So thank you, Lord, for being committed to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting to refine us and enlarge our faith, test us, even when we don't want to. And Lord, we know that you do it for the good, for our growing, that you might see the reflection of Jesus in our life. So Lord, this morning, for each one of us, whether we're going through the trial right now, we've been right through it, or it's coming down the pike, Lord, help us to lay hold of your promises and your strength, the strength that you provide through your Spirit. Lord, help us to make good choices. Help us to be obedient, Lord. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives and in this congregation. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we close the service today, if you need prayer, maybe you're going through a trial and you need prayer, we invite you to come and let one of our ladies, one of our elders, pray with you. Don't leave without having your need for prayer met. Let's stand as we receive the benediction this morning. And now may the love of God our Father, demonstrated through Jesus Christ and His grace in our lives, and may that fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. May we walk with you, Father. May we know how much you love us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take time to greet each other before